This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. Who are some of the options that the Mavericks could be looking at for the taxpayer exception? If you want to get involved in the conversation, truckwreck.com text line, or if you want to get involved on the Twitch chat, on the fan cam, with the YouTube, we appreciate all of y'all. So you're looking at $6.3 million, or you're, you know, if you're 3 for 22, if you prefer to look at it that way with the increase that would come along with that. So 3 for 19, 3 for 22, somewhere in that range is the taxpayer exception continues to go up. Who are some of the names that are going to be in the mix? And the first name that I want to bring up, because people were asking about this to start the show, I know The Athletic made mention of it yesterday and it has caught some traction today, is Gary Payton II. And don't call him Gary Payton Jr. or you will infuriate Reggie.
Okay. You want to? This was a real question from my son. It was a good question because obviously he wasn't alive for Gary Payton. He goes, hey, is Gary Payton II's dad, was he a better defensive player than his? I was like, it's not close, Jake. Like, yeah, he might be the greatest defensive guard in the history of basketball.
The glove.
Like, he was that good. And he was a great player all around.
He was a great player.
So I was like, Gary Payton II is a good basketball player, Jake, on defense. But, like, him and his dad don't compare.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in Gary Payton II. And he seems to be the right type of attitude, energy, like the right type of guy that you would want on your team. Mm-hmm, now, he's almost 30 years old and has only played in 142 NBA basketball games. I mean, he's literally, this is the first year at 29 years old that he actually showed he could play in the NBA. So there are flaws. But we're also at $6.3 million. We can't get a good player at that number. And what I mean by that is, I don't think Gary Payton Jr. or Gary Payton II can play the last 5 minutes for you. Maybe he can, but I don't think he can.
Okay.
So I'm just looking at it going, all right, but he can give you 17 to 20 minutes a game.
And he can be, and he is a great defender, which is what you need, because offensively he has shown to be exceedingly limited thus far.
Right, and that's where in Golden State, he could, because I know you just get the hum, because you're like, well, he did for Golden State, right? And they just want to, okay, we need four players that are huge contributors offensively if we want to do that. Like, you put him out there with Dorian Finney-Smith, Reggie Bullock at the end of the game, and you're like, all right, Luka, you might be getting triple-teamed on this one.
Right, because we were running that lineup before the show started. Luka, Christian Wood, Dorian Finney-Smith, Reggie Bullock, and Gary Payton II. And in that instance, I could see how two of those guys would get overwhelming coverage. And if it's one of the days where the other two are hitting their threes, you're going to whip that team's ass. If it's not, it could be a rough go. So I understand what you're saying. I like the defensive versatility that we saw from Gary Payton II, but I think you're probably right. At this level, I think you can get a good player, but they're probably going to be limited in some aspect, hence why they are taking this deal.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting how many teams want Gary Payton. And I know that a lot of teams want, but at $6.3 million,
yes,
right? I mean, and that's the max the Mavericks can offer anybody. And that goes back to our first segment. It's going to be pretty much the max the Mavericks can offer anybody for the next 3 years if you want to kind of keep the team together, even without Jalen Brunson, because you're going to be a taxpayer the next 3 years with what you have on the team. So these are the type of players in free agency that you can add.
Now, I got two more options more immediately that I wanted to ask you about. Do you want to go back to that exact same team in the Warriors, or do you want to talk about a different team's player?
No, I know where you're going.
Otto Porter Jr.
I like him. He gets hurt a lot. I've always really liked him. I mean, he was a guy that used to be making close to $30 million a year.
Yes.
That's how good Washington thought he would be, and then he just kept getting hurt and couldn't contribute as much as they thought he could, and he kind of didn't develop as good as they thought he would because of injuries. I'd love to get Otto Porter Jr. at $6.3 million. I think he is a good defender, physical player, another Reggie Bullock-like player. If that makes sense.
But I
wonder if he's going to get more than 6.3.
If we're moving to a different team then, and I saw somebody from the 817, Malik Monk to Dallas, please. Now, Malik Monk is another potential option at the taxpayer exception. And now we're talking about somebody perhaps more offensively inclined than at least going back to Gary Payton II. I'm not saying he's a bad defender. I'm also not saying he's a great defender by any means. What would you think about Malik Monk?
I'd really like it. Now, supposedly he said he's only taking the taxpayer mid-level exception if it's the Lakers. I don't know if you saw that.
But okay, I did not see that.
He's kind of saying, I want to go back to the Lakers. I'll even take less money to do it, like the mid-level exception on a tax-paying team, which the Lakers are. So he's kind of put out, unless things go really bad in free agency, $6.3 million is not what my market is. So I'd love it if he came here for $6.3. But he has put out there, $6.3 is something I'll do for the Lakers.
Okay. All right.
Just to give you, because it's so little money. Think of freaking Dwight Powell gets $11 million.
I know.
Like, this is where
I try to ignore that sometimes.
Teams pay. Right now, I do think there'll be a mid-level exception team that pays Malik Monk around $10 million. That's what Reggie Bullock got last year. That's what teams that have that are under $150 million in their payroll have. I think Otto Porter Jr. is going to get more than $6.3 million also.
When we talked about Goran Dragic, obviously we slotted him in the veteran minimum. Yeah. So my question is about another person. Do you envision JaVale McGee as going more in the mid-level taxpayer exception or as a vet minimum possibility?
Maybe somewhere in between.
Okay.
More than vet men, but also maybe less than 6.3. But if you have to do it to get him, I understand. I mean, you're really only going to get one player out of this.
Yeah.
$6.3 million. So if you give him 6.3 instead of 4.5, fine. You know, I mean, that's not saving the $1.4 million or whatever is not going to get you another player. Are you just going off of Callie Kaplan's article right now?
No, Otto Porter was the one that I was interested in, and somebody texted in about Malik Monk. So those were the two that
she
jumped
actually did
to
a
mind.
Very good article in Dallas Morning News, and she's listed these players. So I didn't
she
know
does,
if you're,
she yeah. had JaVale as a taxpayer or a vet minimum. And so that's why I definitely wanted to get your input on that.
In her article, which I'd forgot about, but she's like, Jason Kidd does have a history with him because he was on the bubble Lakers that won the championship, which Jason Kidd was an assistant coach on that team. So a guy that's kind of been flaky in his career. And he's done a much better job at over the age of 30 because he had all the talent in the world in his 20s to be a very good player. He just was kind of too flaky to really trust. And he was here with the Mavs. If people forget, he is actually a Maverick at one point, and he was too flaky to contribute here.
Otto Porter Jr., I just want to go back to that for just 1 second because he pops up everywhere. Like you mentioned Callie Kaplan. Whether it's Bleacher Report, whether it's ESPN, people seem like Otto Porter Jr., they think would fit this system really well. Is there who is on your list of potentials then?
Okay, so I'm going to look at it from another perspective, and I think I'm going to be way off on what the Mavericks are trying to get. Right now, the Mavericks have three big guys that actually play the big guy role. Christian Wood, $14 million. Dwight Powell, $11 million. Maxi Kleba, $9 million. They are all on expiring contracts. I get that two of them probably won't get much money when they hit free agency, and they'll also Powell and Kleba be over 30 years old. So they're not going to be young free agents when they hit the marketplace. But I look at it and go, you know, the Mavericks seem to not really care about the big guy situation after getting Christian Wood. He is on an expiring contract. Now, that can be good if he doesn't work out here. You're not committed to him. But it could be bad in that, guess what we're running into with the Jalen Brunson situation? The New York Knicks are willing to pay him $25 million or more, and the Mavericks aren't. Yeah. So we're going to lose Jalen Brunson. Well, what if Christian Wood comes here and gives us, let's just say, 18 points, 9 rebounds, and is a good, solid, contributing player, but not an all-star? Well, what if a team goes, we have all the money in the world, and we don't know really what to do with it. None of the great superstars are coming here. What if we give Christian Wood $25 million a year? Are the Mavericks in the same situation going, son of a gun, man, we traded for him at 14. We thought we'd assign him to, maybe if he was good for us, a 4-year, $80 million extension. And now we're hearing he's going to get 4 years and $100 million. We don't want to do that. Well, don't we run into, well, guess what? We've gone through the playoffs 3 years now with Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleba. They're not good enough.
Yeah.
Nikhil Harrison. Don't take my word. Nikhil Harrison said they're not good enough.
Yeah.
So you get Christian Wood, but on a 1-year deal. And I love that it's on a 1-year deal to see how good or not good he is for you. So my list is big men. I want to get a young big guy on a 3-year contract. And I don't know if he's going to get more than this or not. Jalen Smith was a bust of a pick for the Phoenix Suns at number 10 overall from the 2020 draft.
He usually is.
They dumped him into Indiana's lap so that they could get, I'm sorry, Torian Craig, I think is the guy's name, who really didn't contribute at all for their playoff run. But if you look at what Jalen Smith was able to do in a free chance, this is what Dorian Finney-Smith got and Maxi Kleba got in Dallas, and this is how they figured out their way in the NBA. Jalen Smith, in the month of April, in a few games, averaged 14 points and 7 rebounds and 1.3 blocks. In the month of March, where he played a lot more games, he averaged 14 points, 8 rebounds, and 1.3 blocks. On 33% three-point shooting, and that was shooting 4 a game, and 52% from the field overall. He's 6'10". He can kind of block shots. He is, let me get his age real quick, he's 22 years old. Now, I don't know. Maybe his market's going to be more than $6.3 million, and this is why he's not being brought up. Or the Mavericks could care less about big people in the NBA because they got one guy that they can hopefully count on in Christian Wood, who they're still not even sure how much they can count on. So I look at Jalen Smith and I go, so we can pick up a 22-year-old guy who in the last 2 months of the season with opportunity, playing not like 40 minutes a night, playing 25 minutes a night, was able on 52% shooting, 33% three-point shooting, 4 three-point shots a game, averaged 14 points and 7 rebounds, and we're not interested at all? Now, the other guy who I can't give you numbers that are good, except for before he got hurt.
And just real quick, kind of looking around from like the Indianapolis Star and other places like that, there seem to be some people that do think Jalen Smith, to a certain extent, is going to get paid. And I didn't want to, I had to break this person's heart. Nick Claxton, it looks like he's going to be back with the Nets, and I don't think he would be able to afford
that.
He's
restricted
anyway.
Too. Yeah. So if you give him 6.3, Brooklyn can just say, all right, 3 years, $22 million, we match. You can't do anything about it. He can't choose the Dallas Mavericks. The other one is Thomas Bryant from the Washington Wizards.
And we have talked about this name in the past,
So he was a guy who I really liked before he blew out his knee. And after he blew out his knee, he came back last year. And then when he came back, they had traded for Kristaps Porzingis. So there wasn't a lot of time for Thomas Bryant to get on the court there. But I do like what he can bring to a team. He has a nice outside shot, too. He's developed that so he can be an outside shooter for you. Last year,
he's unrestricted, right?
He's unrestricted. You can sign. He's 7.4 points, 4 rebounds. He's 24 years old, 6'10". And I go, gosh, if I can get him on a 3-year, $22 million contract, I'll take that risk. Now, he's more of a risk because of his injury.
Yeah.
And to know, can he come back and can he play 70-plus games for you? I don't know, because he played 10 games the year before, blew out his knee, and last year played in 27 games. But those are two guys I'm really interested in, but I think I'm way off, because it looks like the Mavericks don't want another big guy on their roster.
Okay, and I was going to ask, I know you prefer size, but also, would you prefer taking kind of a more risky gamble with that spot, knowing that if Thomas Bryant does, like, continue to come back from the injury and he's got size, he could matter for your team quite a bit.
Yes.
Or would you like to go with somebody that you're like, yeah, no.
JaVale McGee?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather pick the 22 or 24-year-old rather than the 34-year-old.
Okay.
I think we're still in a developmental stage of this team. As great as it was that we made it to the Final Four, the conference finals, I still look at it. I'm at 90-10. We're losing Brunson. He's not going to be on the team next year.
Yeah.
So because of that, I'm looking at this going, look, we're. I don't know if we're going to take a step back, but I don't know if we're going to take a step forward. I would love to get a younger guy on a three-year deal because JaVale McGee is like a stopgap. He's a one- or two-year guy, and his career's over. Most guys don't play past 35 years old. It's special. When you're Kareem, Dirk, LeBron, it's guys don't usually last till they're 40 years old and are actually good at 37 through 40 years old. Even Kobe, who got hurt and blew, like guys at 35 years old usually go downhill in a hurry. So I'm looking at it. Why don't we look at guys that are more in their 20s than in their earlier mid 30s? And our big guy situation, we could be sitting here next year at this time going, oh my God, we have nobody.
Yeah.
We literally don't have a player over 6'7" who can play basketball.
Now, and I have to break one more person's heart. They've texted in a few times. What about Bobby Portis? So we got word that while Bobby Portis does have a player option that he'll clearly opt out of, it looks like the writing is on the wall that he's going to re-sign a multi-year deal to go back with Milwaukee.
Yeah, and $6.3 million probably wouldn't get it done. That's like P.J. Tucker. Yeah. I love P.J. Tucker. He's an older guy, a few years left in the NBA, but he opted out of over $7 million to take $6.3.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, if you could take a baseball vacation, what city, what team would you want to go see? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. If you could take a baseball vacation, what city, what team would you want to go see? 877-881-1053. Now, to go along with that, we will have Chris Woodward on at 1220 and also give away Rangers tickets in the noon o'clock hour. So congratulations, baseball fan. Good time for you. Now, you're taking a baseball vacation. What city or what team would you want to go see? Now, I've got this down to two, and Mike, you might be able to help me make the final decision here.
I think that quite a few people, or obviously a lot of people, go on vacation in the summertime. Some people decide to make it a baseball vacation if they like baseball a lot, to go see other cities and then go to see their stadium. And I think a lot of people have been bragging about Kansas City Stadium, which is, I don't know, 50 years old?
That Kauffman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because they've just done such a great job of renovating it and keeping it the way it is. I will say this, they deal with really hot weather too. I talked to my dad about this, and back when they had the horrible AstroTurf, you know, the Texas Stadium AstroTurf. The players for the Rangers and the Royals in July and August, they would have ice buckets of water. And they would have to put their whole foot in those ice buckets with their cleats on. They would just play in wet shoes and wet socks.
Ugh.
Because when you would go on that old AstroTurf, it was so hot that your spikes would start melting or the shoe would start coming apart from the shoe.
Would worry about blisters in that instance, but I get you got to do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, to try to keep your feet from burning and from your spikes from, you know, the glue would heat up on the shoe. So it'd separate the sole from the shoe. So you would have to try to do things like put your feet in ice water in between innings so that wouldn't happen and that your feet wouldn't burn. So
that
being said,
wild.
Kansas City has done a great job of renovating that. I think Kansas City could be a really fun place in September. So let me put this vacation together for you because I know it's summer, but let me put a vacation for you in Kansas City together. Kansas City, you find a weekend where the Royals are playing and the Chiefs are playing. They're right next to each other. You go on Friday night to the Royals versus whoever. Let's just say you have the perfect vacation because you're a fan here. You go to Royals versus Rangers on September whatever on a Friday night. Saturday, you go around and you have all day to try out the different Kansas City barbecue places to see if they compare to your Texas barbecue places.
Will you report directly to Kevin Gray with that information? Because I know he's going to be backing up Kansas City.
You also have the Negro League Hall of Fame there.
I have been there.
Which, how? Give me a review.
It was awesome, awesome. It's not the biggest place in the world, but there are so many displays that you don't just walk by. I found myself stopping and like watching things or reading things because I really did find myself invested while I was there.
Okay. And then Sunday, you go to the Chiefs versus the Cowboys. I know that'd never happen as like the perfect scenario for being a Ranger and Cowboy fan, but I just think that would be. Now I'm adding football to that. Yeah. And I know that might not be fair in this conversation, but I was thinking about this because here in the next few days, the Rangers are going to New York to play the Mets. How fun would it be for a baseball vacation, New York City, summertime, to go see the Mets and the Yankees? You have the two. You could go see the two best teams in baseball in the same city. And that would just, to me, be a really fun vacation. If you planned it out during the summertime, if you love baseball, that you would have the city of New York, you'd have the nightlife of New York, you'd have the eating of New York, you'd have all the different things that go with New York, and then you would have a Mets game and a Yankees game. I wouldn't want to knock out two games in one day.
Okay.
It's like if it was a Saturday day, Saturday night, which does happen in New York quite a bit, so they don't compete on TV together.
I was going to try to argue for that. One of my favorite memories as a kid was we would go up to Chicago a lot because my family lived up there, or most of my mom's family lived up there, is the Cubs. This was like right before the Cubs got light. And so they would always play day games. And I remember we would go to a day game for the Cubs and then go out to the old Comiskey to see the White Sox play at night. By the way, I'm almost positive the Cubs were playing the Padres. Andre Dawson got plunked in the head, led to this ginormous brawl that as a kid was pretty much the coolest thing
I've
ever
seen. You were there for
that? Yes.
I remember that. Was it Shaw?
Eric Shaw.
Shaw, yeah.
I'm almost positive.
I remember watching WGN.
I was at that game.
That's amazing because I can remember.
Woo!
So, Andre Dawson, he's laid there for like 30 seconds. And then when he got up, it was on.
Yeah, it was really cool to see as a kid. But like, I will push for the two baseball game in a day.
All right.
Here's my question that I need your assistance with. And by the way, when you were talking about people like taking these trips, my in-laws have done two minor league ballpark trips, one before COVID and then another one more recently.
Where did they go?
They went all across the...
Oh, they did a whole bunch
of
minor...
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like they hit like 6, 7, okay, 8. They did a whole bunch. All right, so I've got it down to two places. Denver to see the Rockies or San Francisco. I've not seen either one of those ballparks. A lot of the, like, not all, but a lot of the more iconic ballparks I've been able to see. Like, I've been to PNC, I've been to Fenway, and places like that. We were supposed to go to Denver and to go see Coors Field and go do all the things in Denver, but it was going to be in April of 2020. So clearly, that did not happen.
There wasn't baseball.
Yes, no, there was not baseball. Do you have a recommendation based on those two?
Both are awesome. Okay. Both are great cities. Love Denver. Love San Francisco. I get, you know, the all San Francisco hate from Barkley. Yes, there are dirty parts. I was going to breakfast with my wife and saw a man pooping in a cup. That's a tough
oh my
one
gosh.
For, you know,
Did
going
you expect
on a vacation.
That to be said?
No, but it happened. So Denver, I went there. I played there, but then I also went there last year right after the All-Star game and got to see the Dodgers play the Rockies. And I went as a fan. What a beautiful stadium.
Like the backdrop is the Rockies, is it not?
Yes.
When we sat on the first base side, and so you get a great look at the scoreboard. You have a great look at the field, and then you see the mountains in the back. You can see the sun setting. I believe if I can remember it correctly, the sun is setting over kind of the third base side. So you get kind of the sunset happening and the mountains and just the great weather that Denver presents in the summertime.
Yeah.
So, and then you have so many different things to do in that area. Red Rocks. We went to Red Rocks to go see a concert. Which
we had
was
concert tickets for Red Rocks as well. So yeah,
it was just a great, great time. That's a great vacation. San Francisco, they have so many great restaurants there, and there's a lot of walking that you can do.
Yeah.
You can do the bike ride over the Golden Gate Bridge, which is really fun. And then the ballpark is just a beautiful ballpark. I've never been there as a fan. I've only been there as a player.
Yeah.
But to me, that was one of the best ballparks. It seemed like the fans, there wasn't a bad seat there. The fans are kind of a little bit on top of you. You're right there where the bay is. So if you're sitting closer in the up, if you're sitting higher up, I should say, in the upper deck, you can see the bay and you can see a lot more things. So those are both great places to go. And I would, if I went on a baseball vacation, as much as I like baseball, I wouldn't want it to be all about baseball. I'd only want to go to one game
and then enjoy some other stuff around.
But you're kind of like, hey, we're going on vacation. Like Denver last year is like, we're going on vacation and we're also going to take the boys to go see a Rockies-Dodgers game, which was really fun.
Now, there's, as you could probably guess, there's a whole lot of feedback on this, including from the 254, the Savannah Bananas, which Gavin Spittle had brought up right before that from the 469. I'm a diehard Rangers fan, but I would love to see go to Chicago to see the Cubs play at Wrigley. And from the 214, I want to go back to Wrigley when I and they said that they went there for the first time, but feel like they need to experience the bleachers at least once.
Yeah.
Wrigley is interesting in that, like, parts of it are kind of a dump, but yeah. I've said this before, the atmosphere is amazing.
And Wrigleyville?
Just inside of Wrigleyville as well?
Both of them. Wrigleyville is awesome.
Yeah, there's great places to kind of grab a beer and food before the game, or I know, a soda, whatever.
Yeah.
There's really cool places that are right around there, and then after the game is over, to kind of hang out. So Chicago is a really cool one. I'll tell you, I've only been to see the White Sox. I've only played against the White Sox, but isn't that a bad area? And that stadium is not impressive to me
at all. The new Chicago White Sox ballpark is as sterile and boring as it gets. Like, yeah. The old Comiskey was really fun. Some people brought this up.
One person said Japan. That would be a fun experience. I mean, that's a long trip, but to get to see what it's like to go to that venue.
If I did not even go
Swaggy that, booties.
Yeah, I did not even consider that far out with my thinking, but that's a great answer. A couple people have brought up Fenway. Here's what I will say about Fenway. That atmosphere was awesome. They gave my son a little pin, and it was like, this is my first game at Fenway. And we got a ball in the warm-ups, which was super cool. That was also the day I learned that Ichiro was playing for the Marlins. So I was like, what? I did not know that at all. And so that place is small. It feels like it's in the middle of the city, just kind of next to all of a whole bunch of bars and stuff. But that place is awesome, but it's small.
How about this? The room we're in right now, which might not do great if you're listening on the radio. The room we're in now doing this radio broadcast, put two of these rooms together. That's the clubhouse for 40 men.
Because
it was made in 1900 or whatever. I mean, it is miserable unless they've done a little bit more improving and not, but there's only so much you can do where that ballpark is and when it was built. But that's for in the clubhouse. If you're going to a game, I bet it's really fun. I mean, it was really awesome to get to shag balls off of the Green Monster, which you have to ask the veteran guys, at least you did back when I played, like, hey, because it's shaded over there. You don't have to do much work because when it does hit the wall, it bounces back almost into the infield. So you're not really doing much except standing there until batting practice is over.
From the 972, heading to Denver this weekend and going to see the Rockies play, can't effing wait. So multiple people there, people mentioning San Francisco. But I've also seen this one come up a couple of times. I would pick Toronto, and then from the 817, but only if they're playing the Rangers because I hate the Blue Jays, that ballpark, I do not feel like is beloved.
No, it's not much of a park. I mean,
going to the city could be fun.
The Toronto, I don't know how many city workers they have, but it's the cleanest city I've ever been to.
Huh.
I'm like, how many times are they cleaning the streets and everything? Because every city you go to, it's just tough.
You did not see somebody pooping in a cup.
Yeah. And San Francisco does have a whole bunch of homeless people. And you know what? If I was homeless, I would want to be in San Francisco. Because if I'm here, it's either 1,000 degrees for 3 months out of the year, or every once in a while there's a freeze that you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
San Francisco, it's somewhere between 55 and 80 degrees every day. And I'm giving you the low and the high that it could be. Like, if you're going to not have a home to go to or a place to sleep in, shelter, San Francisco would be a very nice climate to be in. Obviously, San Diego is another one. But yeah, Toronto, I've been there. The stadium is blah.
Yeah.
The kind of energy in the stadium is blah. I get what it's like in the playoffs, but I wouldn't recommend Toronto so much unless you also like hockey, because there is the Hockey Hall of Fame there. Possibly if you went there in April, you could check out a Maple Leafs game and a Toronto Blue Jays game, which could be really cool. But I think it's more of a hockey trip than a baseball trip, but I get how it could be a really nice vacation. You can also, it might be a little bit too far away to go see Niagara Falls. Because when I was in Buffalo, that was only like a 45-minute drive, which was cool.
And some folks mentioned Target Field, Minnesota. That's a really nice place. You can also go to the Mall of America.
I've never been there. I've only been to the Metrodome.
It actually is pretty nice. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Would you watch this fight? We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Ceviche.
Ooh, that sound good.
And we start.
There's no way you'd ever have ceviche.
No.
It's good.
What exactly is that?
It's like kind of a mixture of seafood on a tostada. Well, it doesn't even have to be on a tostada, but a lot of times it's served on a tostada with some like guacamole underneath it, maybe a little bit of lettuce. And then the seafood is cooked in like lemon.
Okay.
Pretty much. Did you know that acid can cook seafood?
No. I did not.
Let's go to football right. Nuggets here.
All right.
But it's an interesting thing that happens to seafood.
We've talked about this before. If Deshaun Watson did get suspended for the season, Jacoby Brissett going to be the plan. Just to hammer that home, Baker Mayfield was doing his youth football camp, which remember, he moved out of Ohio and to Norman, Oklahoma. Quote, I think for that to happen, there would have to be some reaching out in terms of reconciling. But we're both ready to move on, I think. on both sides. So even Baker Mayfield's like, hey, they reached out and came back. Maybe I would think about it. Before adding, but I both think we're ready to move on. Mike, are you ready for the Jacoby Brissett era with the Cleveland Browns?
Not at all. I'm not watching a second of the Cleveland Browns if he's the quarterback.
Oh, man.
I like watching quarterbacks that are good. That's my NFL experience. Or the Dallas Cowboys. So I won't say I like watching the Dallas Cowboys, but that's my team, kind of. And I like watching quarterbacks who are good. So when I get the matchup, or really young quarterbacks who I think could be good, I already know Jacoby Brissett isn't good, not going to be good, will never lead a team anywhere, so I'm not watching you play football. I'm not wasting my time. Jacoby Brissett versus the Seattle Seahawks. Worst matchup in the history of football in 2022. I'm not watching two crap quarterbacks play football against each other.
Wow! There you go from Mike Bassick. Now, let's go Daniel Snyder. And this situation is the dumbest thing, and it continues. Is the House Oversight Committee has said that Daniel Snyder has refused to accept the subpoena. You know how they always have these like things? I've never gotten a subpoena, so maybe this is exactly how it goes. You know how like you'll always see in movies or TV shows and they're like, oh yeah, you're Steve Johnson, right? And you're like, oh yeah, what's up? Do I know you? You've just been served. And like, I don't know if that's actually how subpoenas usually get served, but—
Wait a minute. Run this back for me one more time because I must not be understanding. You said he refused a subpoena?
Yes.
Where did I do that at? I didn't realize that was something you could do.
Now, that's the thing, is there's difference of opinion right here. Is the House committee is saying that the committee and has been and remains willing to, you know, do whatever they can to accommodate his testimony. But they have attempted to serve the subpoena to him multiple times, and it has not worked. So, in response, a quote-unquote spokesperson for Daniel Snyder has said he has not refused to appear for a deposition. They offered only one date, June 30th, and Mr. Snyder's attorney is out of the country and available at that date. We have provided alternative dates. So they say they gave alternative dates. The House is like, that did not happen. He is refusing our subpoena. So this whole stupid process will continue for a while. But, you know, I get it. You're busy and stuff. But, like, you know, this whole investigation was taking part, like, kind of about your football team and stuff. I don't know. Seems like he'd probably be interested in the outcome, or at least, I don't know, maybe being in the country when it took place just in case something happens. But that's just me. I have not been in this situation before. Are you guys ready to watch the boxing match of Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell? Because it is going to happen July 30th at the Crypto.com Arena, formerly, I do believe, the Staples Center.
That's right.
In Los Angeles.
How much money does Crypto.com have?
Probably about 40% less than they used to.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if their product keeps going down. And I know that the rich people just manipulate it to screw us regular people over. Mm-hmm. But
that could be about anything.
Go ahead, Reggie. I'm done with crypto talk. I don't know how it works. I know how it works. I just know that the rich people are manipulating us.
Yes.
I thought that was fantastic, Mike. My question is, how much head trauma can you possibly want? Come on. Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell have done a lot of running the football in the NFL.
Hell.
And they get out of there and you're like, you know what we want to do? Punch each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's an exhibition, so I don't know how serious it'll be, but what I do know, also on the undercard, Nick Young is going to take on the rapper
Swaggy P.
Yes, that is exactly who that is. We'll take on the rapper.
He cheated on somebody, right? On a video.
Azalea.
Yeah.
And then
D'Angelo Russell. Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell. Remember that story D'Angelo Russell told?
Well, I don't know if he likes
specific.
That was the thing, is he was taking videos where he had no business taking videos, letting the people know.
Whoops. Well, he is going to fight the rapper Blueface. So your card, is it shaping up thus far?
He works in Vegas with two other guys.
No, that's the Blue Man Crew. That's a different deal. I feel pretty confident about that, though. Not
100%. Is the Blue Man Group still going strong in Vegas?
I only know the Blue Man Group mainly from, like, Arrested Development and that subplot, so I'm really not sure.
They might honestly travel the country now.
And they could be, like, hugely popular. I'm not saying they're not. I'm not familiar with that. So
it's not like Siegfried and Roy. Like, they had to stop their thing.
What did you say? What's their name?
Siegfried.
Okay.
I know.
Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, Siegfried and
Roy. Why did they have to stop?
One of the tigers tried to kill Roy.
And then what happened?
They lied about it.
They did?
Yeah.
The tiger didn't really attack them?
No, he was just protecting
them. No, the tiger lied.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't, because they caught him by his tail. I get it. I got what you're saying. And did one of them die?
Are they both? I don't know. He didn't die
from
it.
Stop asking me magic questions. I don't know the answer.
Coming up in Mike Likes It. What happened to Siegfried and Roy? And can I say their name right?
So far the card is...
One has just
no, hold on, Mike!
Roy, Nick. It's such a normal name. Siegfried.
Isn't that their last name, though? You know what? You got a lot of work to do before 12:40.
Those are both their first names.
Oh,
sir.
Well, crap.
Maybe it's Raw, then.
Nick Young versus Blueface and Adrian Peterson versus Le'Veon Bell on the card thus
That's
far.
That's not football. That's fake boxing.
Okay, they boxing were football.
Gone such a down. What other sport just has to get random people to do stuff that don't actually do the sport for us to watch?
I mean, we have celebrity all-star games everywhere.
Racing. Or like track and field, I feel like, where they're like, hey, I can run fast. I can also run
somewhat
fast.
Somewhat golf. Like, hey, you want to watch football players play golf? No, I don't. I want to watch golfers play golf.
That makes sense.
But only the good ones.
Okay.
And now we're struggling with that whole live thing.
Yes. Yes, we are. Let's go to CJ Mosley. This is what he said about the Jets. I'm really expecting playoffs or bust. Do you think CJ Mosley is going to be disappointed with the outcome of the 2022 season?
I do because of their division. I think the Jets can be a average team this year.
So 7, 8, 9 wins?
Yeah, but I don't think they can get to 8 or 9 because of their division. The Dolphins have everything to be a 10-plus win team.
Yeah.
The Patriots were good last year with a rookie quarterback.
The Bills are the Super Bowl. They're the favorites. Yeah,
so it's tough to say, oh, yeah. I just wonder, what does bust mean when you're a player? Does that mean you quit? Does that mean everybody loses their contract? What does that mean for you as a player? Or bust? Bust what?
A move.
Oh. All right. You want it? You got it. Now, let's go. I kind of feel
you're
sad.
You're doing a rap song.
I kind of feel sad that I made that joke right there.
All right, you got 2 minutes to get in this other football nugget.
All right, we talked about the Bengals yesterday. Do you agree that Joe Mixon, he said, the Bengals might be the hottest thing smoking in the NFL this year? We met it with speculation last year. Do you believe the hype train is up on the Bengals, or do you believe that when we go back to talking about the Chiefs, the Bills, now the Dolphins, that they're just going to fall back into the mix?
I don't think they're going to fall back into the mix because of what the Browns are dealing with. They traded for a quarterback who I don't believe is going to play, and they have Baker Mayfield right now, who we went just through, that they're not going to play him. So I think the Browns are going to be a below-average team. I think the Steelers are going to be a below-average team. I think the Ravens are going to come back and be an above-average team, but nothing special. So I do think the Bengals set up to win that division again, and it'll be between them and the Ravens, and I don't think the Browns and Steelers are competing in that division. So I think they're in good shape. Winning the division helps, right? Because then you get a home game. You don't have to go through the situation where you're playing on the road the whole playoff.
Right.
So I think beating the Ravens in the regular season, better regular season record, will help them get back to making a run in the playoffs. So I believe they're going to make a run in the playoffs. I'm not going to believe they make it into the AFC Championship game again.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, if Brunson does leave, can Christian Wood keep the Mavs at the same level where they were this past season? We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.